As you've listened to the music, that's what we're here to proclaim. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. Welcome to the house of God on this Easter Sunday. We bid you welcome in the Savior's precious name. And we're going to sing together our opening hymn, Up From the Grave Arose. He arose, and there's some high notes, so we look to those who can reach them to get to them. Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. Just keep our seats. Getting some instructions that need to be attended to. We're going to read from the Psalm 60. This is our psalm for today. And we are delighted to have Pastor Gordon Thompson with us in the service. He's over visiting and he's preaching tonight in a drive-through service. Do remember him in his visit and the preaching this evening. We're going to ask him to come and open a prayer as soon as we read this psalm, the Psalm 60. O God, thou hast cast us off. Thou hast scattered us, thou hast been displeased. O turn thyself to us again. Thou hast made the earth to tremble, thou hast broken it. Heal the breaches thereof, for it shaketh. Thou hast showed thy people hard things. Thou hast made us to drink the wine of astonishment. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth, Selah, that thy beloved may be delivered, save with thy right hand, and hear me. God has spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem and mete out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, and Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the strength of mine head. Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my washpot. Over Edom will I cast out my shoe. Philistia, triumph thou because of me. Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? Wilt not thou, O God, which hast cast us off, and thou, O God, which didst not go out with our armies, give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. Amen. Pastor Thompson, if you'll come and lead us to the throne of grace in prayer on this resurrection day, as we proclaim, he is risen. Thank you, brother.
Let's pray. Our Father, as we come before you in the wonderful name of Jesus, we thank you for this time in the Christian calendar when we even stop and think more about the resurrection of your Son. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, because he is alive, we are alive. We thank you, Heavenly Father, because he is alive, we have been redeemed, not with corruptible things such as silver or gold, but the precious blood of Jesus. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that he is alive, and because he is alive, we have been brought into the family of God. Because, Father, we know that all our righteousness is like filthy rags, and there's nothing, absolutely nothing, that we can do that can make us a child of God. But because he is alive, we have been brought into your family. We thank you that you've adopted us into the family of God, and today that we can say that we belong to the family of God, all because of Jesus. And Lord, as we come to you today, we want to praise you, we want to glorify you, we want to exalt you, because you sent your Son into this world to die on the cross of Calvary, to pay the price of our sins. And Father, we thank you that 3 days later he was resurrected to life, and now he's seated at the right-hand side of the Father, even praying for us today. So, Lord, we praise you. And as your children, we want to tell you afresh, we love you. And, Father, we love you because you first loved us. And, Father, we ask you, if there be anyone amongst us who's lost their first love for Jesus, who's lost their first love for the Lord, we pray as the minister comes and opens up the Scriptures, we pray that you touch hearts. We pray that people would not be looking to the problems in their life, but we pray that today through your servant, that Father, we be trusting in the promises of God, which are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. So Lord, we'll lift ourselves before you. We pray that we would know your anointing and your blessing. And Father, we ask if there be anyone amongst us or anyone listening in who does not know the risen Christ, we pray that today that they would taste and see that the Lord is good. So we ask you, go before us, help Mr. Park as he comes and opens up the bread of life. May we hear the still voice of God saying into our life, this is the way, walk ye in it. And Father, we'll be quick to say, to God be all the glory, great things he's done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you, brother, for leading us in prayer today. Just in case you think he's got a very strong North Antrim accent, he's a wee bit further away. Lovely accent, brother. We've got a great affinity with Scotland. And we are thinking about you and your wife, of course, and the Buick family. In the recent bereavements, not only did Willie pass away, but Fred also has gone to be with the Lord. And that funeral service is on Thursday at 2 o'clock, Australian time. No, 2 o'clock in the morning, our time. So it will be able to be seen afterwards. Isn't that right, Ivor? We'll get you the details and we'll get you the information. Very glad to have Sarah with us, Sarah Moffat. And we're going to ask Sarah to come now and minister in song to sing on this Easter Sunday. Thank you. Thank you very much, Sarah, ministering in song, leading us to the death of Christ, the resurrection of the Savior. Sarah has been one of our frontline nurses. We really appreciate the work that she has done down in Antrim Hospital. And we say thank you to the so many in the NHS who have worked tirelessly over the past year. And of course, Sarah herself, not well in recent weeks, but good that she's making recovery. May the Lord bless that message and song. We bid you welcome to the house of God. We are so glad that a few more are making it back to God's house. We have missed you greatly, and we trust as the weeks go on that that will improve more and more. Those who are listening in over the internet, Sermon Audio, Facebook and YouTube, welcome to you also. And then could I mention the Lord's table is after this meeting. We will give the opportunity for those who are not staying to leave, and we will have the opportunity of receiving in new members. The office bearer's time of prayer is this evening at 5 o'clock, and then our church time of prayer at 5:30 until 6, and that's on Zoom. Remember the gospel meeting at 7, also broadcast the usual way on the internet. Rebecca Park, another one of our frontline nurses, will be the soloist this evening, and I want to preach on the place called Calvary. Can I also say that the Hebron Easter Cantata will be broadcast tonight at 9 o'clock, and this will go out on Sermon Audio, Facebook, and YouTube. Now, this is not the one that was in the church. It's the recording from the concert that was held in the Great Hall at Stormont on the 30th of March, 2019. So it was 2 years ago. The Easter Holiday Bible Club, the FPC Kids, will have its last program going out tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. And the Easter Convention, this is the weekend for our denomination, is tomorrow evening, Monday the 5th of April at 7:30. There's various things happening at that. The moderator is the preacher as we celebrate 70 years of the Free Church and also the Northern Ireland Centenary. There's also the Kids Easter Club. That starts at 6:30 for the children, so do remember that. And it's being broadcast from Facebook and Sermon Audio at the Martyr, so remember that, please. Tuesday, the Youth Challenge is at 7, and although the children are not all coming back, it will be a live broadcast. So going out from the church here, different places of the church, those who are taking part, pray for this as we continue for one more month. Thursday night is the midweek service at 8 o'clock. Friday night is presbytery at 8 o'clock, and that is by Zoom. Next Lord's Day, the prayer meeting at 8 o'clock, and that's on Zoom. And the Sunday school, 10:30 on Facebook. The Bible class, 10:30 on Zoom. And Mervyn is dealing with the disciples again, this time Judas the Steadfast. The worship service at 12 noon, Mr. Simon Anderson will be here to preach the word at both of the services next Lord's Day. I'll be preaching, God willing, in Antrim. So remember Simon, our student assistant, as he comes to minister next week. I want to thank you for your tithes and your offerings to God's work. I want to acknowledge a couple of missionary gifts that we've received, £200 and another gift of £200. We ask you to continue to uphold the ministry here in prayer week by week, and also the sick of the congregation. Very glad that Valerie has returned with us after being in hospital. Ruth Quigg is due to get out today after serious illness. Maud Graham is in a convalescing home. We continue to remember Maud and all the others that are on the list here before you. Could I mention that in a week's time, there's a special online gospel mission going out from Bangor. We have a special interest in Bangor, of course, and it is the 5 most important questions you will ever be asked. And that will be from the 12th to the 16th each night at 7 o'clock. So you're invited to join on the internet with the Bangor Church if you're free any of those nights. Now, before I come, just quickly to show you a few slides about the missionary work, we're going to have an organ and piano recital. I came into the church yesterday, and Diane and Sylvie were here, and they were playing this beautiful piece. A lot of you will know it. And I said, would you not play it tomorrow? And so they went home and prayed about it. And I think that the answer was yes after prayer. So thank you for your willingness, Sylvia and Diane. And I'm going to stand here because we're going to show you the words. You can follow the words on the screen. If all else fails, we'll just get the word of truth to come up and stand socially distanced to sing it for you. Amen. Can you say but amen? And tremendous words. Thank God we're going to see Jesus one day. Those of us who know him, love him. They saw Jesus in the resurrection. We're going to see him just as they did when he comes in power and glory. But it is our prayer we'll see him today, and by faith we'll lay hold upon the Son of God. Thank you, Sylvie, and thank you, Diane. Please continue to remember the work in Brazil as they continue to suffer in that land, and remember the orphanage work in India and the group that we have preached to this week in Pakistan, Freya's group. And I got an interesting video that was sent to me this morning. I'm just going to show you a clip of this. We may not do this, but you just listen and see what's happening in Islam, Pakistan. And these are Christians rising up before dawn. And it's 10 to 6 when the sun rose in Pakistan this morning. And these people are up way before that. And they are parading through this street, celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, their Lord. And if I was to let this run, it's going to run for 2 minutes altogether. There are hundreds of Christians who have taken to the streets to rejoice in the living Christ. When I showed this to my wife, she said, if we did that here in Ballymoney, we'd get arrested. I said, we'd probably get the headlines in the local newspaper as well. But here are Christians in the fifth most persecuted country in the world, and they're unashamed of Christ. And they got up early today. They got up early to meet with the Lord and to celebrate his resurrection. We had the opportunity this morning to preach with the other group going out into the tribal areas, our sister Deep. And this is just I know she'll send me pictures, but this is just one I took as a screenshot on the computer. And you'll see a lot of blue there. So the children of the school got their uniforms, and they're looking really well. I'm sure you'll agree. So you pray for these tribal people as they are reached with the glorious gospel of Christ. We should be able to hear them quote the text that we asked them to learn.
I am the
resurrection
and the life.
You probably need to hear the timer too, just to grasp the words there, but they were learning, as you heard, I am the resurrection and the life, and proclaiming that Jesus Christ is alive. Continue to remember the Reverend Harris, who has special meetings over the weekend as well. Pray for Noreen and Emmanuel. And greetings were sent just this morning from the Reverend Nombre in the Philippines, from his congregation. And as you walked into church, you maybe saw the boxes on the pallet, so almost ready for exporting now to the Roma families in Romania. I'm going to sing together that lovely hymn, Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow. God sent His Son, they called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives.
Thank you.
Turn in God's word to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And they went to tell his disciples, or as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Ending our reading at verse 10. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we rejoice in today, the resurrection day, the living Savior, who is now present with us in this service by his Spirit. We thank thee that there is one to guide us through the word today, to be our teacher and instructor. O God, as we glory in the risen Christ, we pray that thou will fill our hearts with joy and gladness, that joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, because the Lord is here. Oh God, we pray that you'll speak to us with a voice that wakes the dead. Often, Lord, we can be characterized in that way. Often our hearts can become cold and indifferent. Deliver us from that if it's there. Make us alive unto God with hearts that are thirsting after thee. Fill this preacher now with God the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want to think about the angel's message to the women at the empty tomb, as we have it in this passage, particularly verse 5 through to verse 7. This, of course, is one of the most glorious days in the history of the entire world. Jesus had been crucified for our sins. He had paid the penalty in full. He endured all that was appointed for him to endure and accomplish in our behalf. And as our Savior and our Mediator, he lifted up his voice in triumph in the midst of his agonies upon the cross. And he said, It is finished. Nothing more to do. It's an accomplished redemption. And his final word upon the cross, before he voluntarily laid down his life, was, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And no sooner had he breathed these words, the Bible tells us he gave up the ghost. The whole episode of Christ's crucifixion brought the centurion who was in charge of his death to conclude, certainly this was a righteous man. Joseph of Arimathea, a good and a godly man, who up until this time was a secret follower of Christ, he now steps forward to own his Lord. And he goes to Pontius Pilate and begs for the body of Christ. Carefully, gently, and lovingly, he and his friend Nicodemus take the precious body of the Savior down from the cross, and it is laid in Joseph's sepulchre. The stone is rolled across the entrance, and in a short time afterwards, sealed and secured at the command of Pilate, and a watch was set. Pharisees, you see, had remembered the prophecy of Christ, after 3 days I will rise again, and they're going to make sure that this tomb is sealed. The third day comes, There's a great earthquake that shakes the ground. The angel of the Lord descends from heaven, rolls back the stone, not to let Jesus out, he has already been raised to life, but to let others look in to see the empty tomb. Mary Magdalene and her friends were first at the sepulchre, and they received the glorious message from the angel. He is not here. He is risen. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And this is indeed the message of Easter. A crucified Savior who is risen from the dead. Hallelujah. And I invite you in your mind's eye to come and see the place where the Lord lay, because it's an empty tomb. He's not here. We cannot overemphasize enough the resurrection. We serve a risen Savior who is alive today. And I want you to think just for a little time in the close of this Easter service about the angel's message to the women at the empty tomb. First of all, it was a message of consolation. Fear not ye. The Roman soldiers who guarded the tomb were terrified, for they did shake and became as dead men. They are absolutely confounded. They are overwhelmed and disturbed. The great earthquake and the presence of an angel in such dazzling splendor caused these rough, tough soldiers to tremble and faint. The angel had no flaming sword in his hand. It does not even appear that he spoke one word to these men, but his presence of perfect purity and amazing majesty overawed and overpowered these legionaries. But not so for the women. Amidst their natural anxiety and understandable apprehensions, the women were told, "Fear not." I fully appreciate the fact that the angel appearing in mighty splendor would overawe any man or woman, including the Lord's dear disciples. Fear would be the first reaction. You just put yourself in their shoes. You come to this tomb in the darkness. The earthquake takes place. The stone is rolled away. And you see an angel standing in dazzling splendor. I'm sure your immediate reaction would be to tremble. But when an angel is sent on an errand to comfort and encourage a dear soul on earth, it's a ministering angel from heaven, and there's no need for anxious fear. When the angel appeared to Joseph to alleviate his troubled heart, he began with the message, "Fear not." When Zacharias, the priest, was serving the Lord in the temple, and the angel came to inform him that Elizabeth would bear a son, again the message began, "Fear not." The shepherds received a visit from an angel when the announcement was made about the Savior who was born, and he began his message the same way, "Fear not." Here at the tomb of Christ, this heavenly messenger who sat upon the stone, whose countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow, he speaks words of comfort to these women. "Fear not." The Bible commentator Clark said, "The resurrection of Christ is a subject of terror to the servants of sin and a subject of consolation to the sons of God. Because it is a proof of the resurrection of both, the one to shame and everlasting contempt, the other to eternal glory and joy." You know, my friends, one day Jesus Christ will employ the holy angels again at his coming. Jesus tells us that he will come with all the holy angels with him. The Apostle Paul says that Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. And in the book of Revelation, we read of how much the angels will feature in the last days, in that time when Jesus will come again, and how that they will pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon this earth. A fearful day for the unbeliever. No doubt men will feel as the Roman soldiers felt at the resurrection, who shook and became as dead men. You don't want to be found in a state of unreadiness when Jesus comes again. It'll be too late for you. But for the child of God, there will be undoubtedly a fear not when the angels come, as the Savior says, to gather the elect from one end of the heaven to the other. We have nothing to fear with the risen, glorified, exalted Christ when he comes again to receive us unto himself, because thank God we're hiding in him. Nothing to fear. It was a message of consolation. Secondly, it was a message of observation. For the angel says, "For I know that ye seek Jesus." The true child of God will always be about this business. We will always seek him whom our souls love. These women undoubtedly loved the Lord. They had followed him throughout his short earthly ministry. They attended to him when they could. They served him in whatever capacity presented itself. They were last at the cross. They were first at the tomb. They were always desiring to be with Christ, even now, as they supposed, just to be near his dead body, to anoint it. The angel knew full well their hearts, their desires, their longings. They had come really early in the morning seeking Jesus. I know that ye seek Jesus. As God looks into your heart today and mine, what does he see? It's a searching question. For be well assured, he sees everything. It's not a thought, small or great, but it's before his all-seeing eye and beneath his infinite understanding. He knows us through and through. He searches our spiritual desires, the cravings of our heart for him, the longing for his presence, his word, his house, the passion and the thirst of soul to meet with him. He knows about it if that's there. On the other hand, he watches on with grief upon our backslidings and our coldness and apathy. When our hearts are far away from him and our thoughts are not focused upon him. As the Lord passes by today, and he is passing by, and he visits us here in this service, and he draws up close beside you. There's no social distancing with the Lord today. He draws up close. What does he see? As his omniscience searches you out. Does he say to you, "My brother, my sister, for I know that you seek Jesus"? He watched you as you left your home this morning and made your way to this house of God. He followed you into the pew, and he observed how you settled yourself into his holy presence. His eye was upon your attitude as we bowed in prayer and we called upon his great name. He saw your heart throbbing with love and desire as we sang the glorious hymns today. Yes, indeed, the all-knowing God looks at you and I. And I wonder, my friends, does he declare, "I know ye seek Jesus"? Are you like the Greeks in John 12 at the feast of the Passover who came to Philip with that burning desire in their soul? "Sir, we would see Jesus." Can you say with the desolate bride in the Song of Solomon chapter 3, "I will seek him whom my soul liveth"? Is that how you've come to the house of God today? Is the Lord looking upon you, looking into your heart, reading your thoughts right now? And he says, "I know that you seek Jesus." It was a message of observation. Thirdly, it was a message of exclamation. Just there in that little phrase, "which was crucified." The angel mentions what had just taken place 3 days ago, namely the crucifixion of Christ, his shameful death upon the cross. Jesus was crucified. He was nailed to the tree. He suffered, bled, and died to reconcile sinful men unto God. And it must always be the central message in all gospel preaching. Jesus was crucified. There upon the center tree, the eternal and the only begotten Son of the Father was put to death for our sin. Shameful as the cross was, it is the power of God and it is the wisdom of God. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 1 in verses 23 and 24. Indeed, it was the good pleasure of the Father that through Christ crucified, he would make peace through the blood of his cross. There's no other way of salvation. There's no other way of reconciliation to God. There's no other way to reach those pearly mansions. For Jesus is the only way. You must come by the way of the cross or not come at all. And I must, as a preacher, ever set Christ crucified before my hearers. I must make much of the blood of God's dear Son. I must ever boast in Christ and him on the cross. Let me ask you today, as you've come to the house of God, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? For here in this message of the angels, they speak about Christ and him crucified. He was crucified. That had happened 3 days previously. What does the cross mean to you? And then it was also a message of declaration. He is not here. Isn't that a marvelous statement? He's the risen Christ. Death could not keep its prey. Jesus, my Savior. He tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord. It's an empty cross and it's an empty tomb. In Israel, you will see many graves and many tombs. There's an ocean of tombs in the Mount of Olives. There's a vast sea of graves outside the eastern wall of the Temple Mount. You can see the tomb of Rebekah and the tomb of David and the tomb of Absalom. But you'll not see the tomb of Jesus because he is not here. The women were invited to view the empty tomb. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Oh, they knew that he had been laid there. His body had been taken down from the cross and carefully prepared for burial with the mixture of myrrh and aloes brought by Nicodemus. Indeed, the two Marys had sat, the Bible tells us, over against the sepulchre. We read that in chapter 27, verse 61. It would seem that these women had remained at the cross when Jesus died. They were close by when his precious body was taken down. They watched its entombment. And then they went home and prepared spices and ointment and returned early on the first day for a more complete embalmment. But he wasn't there. And that's the message of Easter. He is not here. Jesus rose again the third day, as he said. He's alive and alive forevermore. His resurrection proved that his death was the sacrifice for our sin and was fully accepted. Someone has said the cross was the payment, the resurrection, the receipt, proving that the payment was fully accepted. Now for the next 40 days, he would show himself alive by many infallible proofs. He would then ascend from Mount Olivet into glory. For almost 2,000 years, he has been seated at the right hand of God. He carries on his ministry in heaven as our great heavenly high priest, our mediator and our intercessor, and he lives in our hearts by faith. And often we sense that. And we feel the Lord within. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. And then finally, it was a message of commission. Go quickly and tell. You read that from verse 7 onwards. Go tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. And he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. They departed quickly, and so forth and so on, down these verses. These women were to be the first messengers of the good news that Jesus was alive. Those that love him most were given some of the most privileged experiences. Spurgeon said, not first to them who were the heads of the church, as it were, but first of all to the lowly women did the Lord appear. And the apostles themselves had to go to school to Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to learn that great truth, the Lord is risen indeed. Go and tell. That's still our task. Go and tell about the Savior, the crucified Lord who is risen, who is alive and alive forevermore. And you see the obedience of these women in verse 8. They departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy and did run to bring the disciples word. They were so filled with joy that they ran with all haste to bring news to the Lord's disciples. They must be told. And what delight. What delight they received on the way. Because in verse 9, as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Isn't this most marvelous? As they run in obedience and with joyful heart, Jesus met them. This was a wonderful, outstanding moment. They not only heard about the resurrection from the angels, they not only saw the empty tomb, now they see him for themselves. They immediately fall at his feet in worship before the risen, glorified Christ. Not long before this, remember, they thought that everything was lost because they thought that Jesus was dead. Now they knew everything was gained because Jesus is alive. Their risen Savior told them to do the same thing that the angels had already instructed them to do. Go tell my brethren. And you want to learn something here. The child of God who serves the Lord in this way. Running. I wonder, do you run to serve the Lord? With joy. Is there joy in your heart when you serve him? And if you serve God this way, that person is most likely to meet Jesus. It's most likely to have a sweet encounter with him. Oh, not in the physical sense as he is in heaven. And he's there until he comes again. But nonetheless, in a very special way, the Lord will come near to you. And he will make himself known. Again, if I can quote Spurgeon just in close, some Christians travel to heaven so slowly that they are overtaken by follies or by faults, by slumber or by Satan. But he who is Christ's running footman shall meet his master, while he is speeding on his way. I trust that you'll serve the Lord like this, the risen Christ, that you will run with joy in your heart to do his bidding. And I know that you will have encounters with him, and he will come graciously near. These are some of the thoughts that we learn as we think about the message of these angels to the women at the empty tomb. I trust you will take something home in your heart today that will do you good. Meditate upon it, think upon it, and be blessed as you do. Thine be the glory. It's the hymn 120. Going to sing this together. Thine be the glory, risen conquering Son, endless the victory thou o'er death hast won. Angels in bright raiment rolled the stone away, kept the folded grave close where thy body lay. And when we come to the second verse, if everyone stays for the first verse, but when we come to the second verse, those that are not staying for the Lord's table, you can feel free to leave the service. Make sure you just keep your social distancing on the way out. Thank you. Keeping our seats.